I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read just a small portion of this chapter, although we're going to be talking a large part of it, but this morning just a small portion here to start with. First Samuel 1, starting in verse 3. If you have your Bibles and you've opened there to that chapter, you can begin reading along with me and follow along as I read. It's the story of Hannah and Samuel, how all of this began. If you're not familiar with it, it's a great passage. I think many of us are familiar with this passage, but let's not let our familiarity with it cause us to miss what's here. Starting in verse 3, it says this: Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. And on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions of to Peninnah, his wife, and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, because he loved her, even though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her, that is Hannah, used to provoke her to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it went year by year, as often as they went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons?" And after they had eaten and drank in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, sat beside the doorstep of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you just go with us this morning as we would go into this time of study, and ask that you just give us wisdom and understanding even as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as I said, it's a very familiar passage. We've studied it together before. We've gone through it in Bible studies. You know, it's been part of our Sunday school material. I preached on this text a few years ago. But you know what, you know, when we come to a passage like this, there's always something we can gain from it. God's word is living and active. And it is, and that's the beauty of it, is whenever we come to God's word, it gets into us just as much as we get into God's word. Amen. And as I began to think about this passage again, and as I began to think about Mother's Day and all the range of passages one could go to, and I spent a lot of time, it seemed like, thinking about where to go. And this passage came back to me early this week, and I began thinking about it, and I jotted down some notes, and just God had just opened up a new idea from this passage that I'd like to share with you this morning. And that is, the title of today's message is Dare to Dream. Dare to Dream. You know, when it comes to thinking about things here, first of all, I want to say this. Like Hannah, that we could get a dream for God. Hannah had a dream. It's goes unexpressed in this passage until she begins to pray. But what you see here is deep down inside of her is a longing for a son. Her dream was to be a mother. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think the dream goes deeper in her heart than just being a mother. I think it goes even as far as being a mother who would raise a son who would worship the Lord. And we'll expound on that thought as we look at this passage together this morning. But here, like Hannah, we often think thoughts that go unexpressed for some time. I think that's true of many of us. We think thoughts that go unexpressed for some time. Sometimes they go unexpressed for days or weeks or months or even years. The text we have just read says that year by year, Hannah and Elkanah and Peninnah would go to the temple at Shiloh and they would worship the Lord. And Elkanah would bring out after the sacrifice had been made, he made sure that Hannah got that double portion. He made sure that Peninnah got her portion and her kids got their portion. But he always made sure that Hannah got her double portion because year by year, her womb was left empty. Year by year, she was left unfulfilled and unsatisfied with the dream of being a mother and being one that would raise a godly son. See, what goes year by year? The unexpected waiting time keeps going on and on and on. For her, her dream was that of being a mother. Your dream this morning, ladies that are here gathered, God has a dream for you. God has a plan and a purpose and a passion that He has put into your heart. And it's something that maybe you've not expressed outwardly or publicly or openly, maybe even to yourself. Maybe there's a dream or a desire that is built up in your heart that God has been putting there and working in your life for weeks or months, perhaps even years. Looked up a definition for dream. What do we mean when we say dream? One definition of it, of dream, is simply this: a cherished hope or ideal. A cherished hope or ideal. It's that idea, that understanding that there's something in us, a longing, a deep desire within us that is there. You know, it can be fanciful. It can be a fantasy world that we're wanting. But then again, it can also be something that has been God implanted into us. A couple of scriptures to kind of frame this and think about it are these. Proverbs 16:9 says this, that the Lord, that the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes them. The Lord establishes his steps. That's Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says this, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? When you think about those verses, God's saying something to us, that God has given plans to us. He's put something into our heart, a purpose, a desire, a dream to fulfill. Jeremiah 29, verse 29, 11, another verse is very familiar to us. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We're talking this morning about getting a dream for the Lord, getting a dream for God, that there's a desire that can be built in us, a dream that can be built in us, a passion, a pursuit that each and every one of us would have. For Hannah, that dream, as I think we could see in this passage, was to have a son of her own. But a son that she would give over to the Lord. And as we'll see here, that as she continues to pray, to the Lord, not only does she say, Lord, you know, if you would give me a son, then I will give him to you. And she is pouring out her heart to the Lord in prayer. And she is expressing finally a dream that the Lord has put on her heart. To get a dream for the Lord, like Hannah here in this passage. The second thought I want us to consider this morning that is this. Not only should we get a dream for the Lord, that can come for Hannah. It came over time, built in her heart. She thought about things. She had desired to be a mother. And even though week after week, month after month, year after year, that desire, that dream was left unsatisfied. There's some challenges that she had to face. She had to face the challenges to the dream. And I want to speak to you this morning about some of those challenges that she had to face. And these would be some of the challenges that you and I would face as we think about what God would have for us, what God would say to us. And first of all is this, there are difficult times ahead. Difficult times may come when we think about the dream that God would have for us. Think about Hannah's life, what's going on, what the text tells us here. It tells us here that year after year this went on. So it's a prolonged thing. It's not a simple process that Hannah is going through. As she is thinking about and desiring and dreaming and longing for this son, it's not something simple. It's not something easily solved. It's difficult. It's complex. It's very challenging for her. When Hannah is praying to the Lord silently, her mouth is moving, but no words are coming out. And Eli sees her praying because, as the text tells us, he's sitting there at the doorpost of the temple. And there's a thing that's happening there. As he sees her mouth moving, though, he thinks that she's drunk. And as she's praying, her mouth is moving, no words are coming out. He thinks she's drunk, and he says, put away your wine, stop drinking. And she says, no, don't think of me like that. I'm not one of those kind of ladies. She says, verse 15, I want you to look at that verse specifically, verse 15, how she addresses Eli. He says, she says, verse 12, she continues, she's continuing to pray. Eli says to her those words, and then verse 15, she says, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit." I want you to underline that expression. The King James expresses it like this. She says, that she is a woman of a sorrowful spirit. The NIV expresses it like this. It says she is deeply troubled. The New American Standard says that she is oppressed in spirit. All of these ideas come together to express what's going on in her heart. She's troubled in spirit. There is deep trouble in her. She's facing ridicule and neglect that surrounds her. She was mocked by her close, by those close to her. And even from her own husband, she did not receive much support. She received indeed weak support from her husband. And when it came to the spiritual aspect of her life, she received little spiritual leadership to guide her. I think deeply troubled fits well. Oppressed in spirit. Troubled. Difficult times, for sure. Difficult times. The second idea here, a second challenge that I would see for her is this: lack of support. Kind of already touched on it, but just think about this for a moment. Lack of support. Here's her husband. This is the moment where we bring the men in, okay? If you're a husband of a wife, you love your wife, you care for her. Now, it tells us here he loved her and he took care of her. Yes, he gave her a double portion and he loved her and he provided for her. But, you know, there's something that's missing here in this passage. As Hannah is longing for this son, she's desiring, she's passionate about wanting this child, and wanting a child, not just any child, but a child that could grow up and serve God and love God and cherish God. I think that's expressed in the fact that later on she says, "Lord, I want to just give this child to you." That's where I see this coming in, this desire in her heart, is that not only does she want a child, but she wants a child that's going to serve God. And so as she's thinking about this, her husband is absent, and he's letting all of this ridicule and all of this pain come on his wife. Why? Because he's a weak man. He's a weak man. He's a coward. He won't stand up. In this day and age, when the passage of Scripture was written, at that time, it was culturally acceptable to have multiple wives, even though biblically speaking, that's never been God's plan. God's plan has always been one man, one woman for a lifetime. That's it. One man, one woman for a lifetime. God planned it that way so that a man would leave his father and mother, and a woman would leave her father and mother, and they would come together and they would be joined together and become one flesh for a lifetime. That was God's plan. That has always been God's plan. And as you look at Scripture, you see that it's not, you see even here the problem of this relationship that's been built here. Hannah's name comes first as you look at the opening portion of this book here in the first verses of this book. You see Hannah's name appears first, then Peninnah's name. And why? I think very likely is Elkanah married Hannah first. She wasn't able to bear a son, so he married Peninnah so he could have a son. She does have sons, does have daughters. And he says to her in verse 11, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? Obviously, that's not the case. If she was worth more than 10 sons, why marry the second woman? Difficult times, a lack of support. She's got deep desires in her heart to be a woman that has a son, that raises that son to be godly. Third one here is seeing God in it all. Seeing God in it all. That's a deep challenge. Here's Hannah. She's at the temple year after year, weeping bitterly. On this particular occasion, she goes up to the temple and begins to cry out to the Lord. I want you to notice here, though, that there's a problem in Eli. If you go on in 1 Samuel, you'll notice there's a lot of problems with Eli. He's got two sons that are worthless. And if you think about it in a current context, you know, like, here's her pastor. She shows up for worship, and her pastor says, why are you drunk in church? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to ever say that to anyone when they come to worship God. That says something about their day and time, too. The people were coming, you know, the fact that he could even think that, that somebody would come and worship God and in the process of worshiping God get drunk. But that was the context. That was the day they lived in. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were worthless characters. You can read about some of their glorious exploits, if you will, their holy terrors that they brought upon the people as you read through chapter 3. It's not a pretty picture what they were doing, and God took them out. Eli was weak as a spiritual leader. And so when you think about that, as you think about Hannah, it's could be easy for her to say, where's God in all of this? How has God been in my life? There's no leadership in my home. There's no leadership at the temple. Where is God in all of this? But yet, through it all, through all that ridicule, all the neglect, all the mocking, all of the lack of leadership, lack of support, I want us to remember this, that despite it all, she faced the challenges for the sake of her dream. She faced those challenges. She did not let her faith in the Lord waver, because she came to the Lord and she got down on her knees, as it were, and she cried out to the Lord and said, God, I want this, but I want it because you want it. I want to have the dream that you want in my life. And I don't know what that dream is for you, ladies. I don't know what it is that God's put on your heart. Maybe it's that you would be able to pour yourself into your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, and you'd just be able to see those children grow up and become godly men and women. Maybe it's a dream to see others, that you would be able to bring others around you and encourage them and support them and see the kingdom of God and grow and increase. Or maybe you've gone through some troubles yourself. You've gone through some difficult times, and maybe God's put on your heart a desire to say, I can find some lady, someone that's like me, and I can show them how to be faithful to God through all of this. God's got a dream for you. You're going to face some challenges, though, through it. Dare to speak your dream. That's the third thing I want us to see in this passage. dare to speak your dream. Hannah's dream for a son was ultimately took her to prayer. You know, see, we may have dreams in our heart. There may be something that's there that goes unexpressed. It's there in our minds. We're thinking about it. It's deep in our heart. But we haven't said it out loud. We haven't spoken it out to anyone, much less God. And that's where Hannah goes first before she ever really... I mean, yeah, I'm sure Elkanah knew she wanted a son. Obviously, he says, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? He knows she wants a son. But you know, the whole dream in her heart, more than just having a son, but having a godly son, and just pouring herself into that, it goes deeper than just what Elkanah could see from the outside. And so she goes to the Lord in prayer. You know, I know in my own life that there had been times where I've had thoughts in my head, and as I began to pray over those thoughts, God took it to a whole new level. I could go to the Lord and I could pray over something, and as I'm praying, you know, there's a clarity that comes through the praying process. You know, I can think it in my mind, and I can just kind of let things roll around in my head for a while, but then it's like, okay, now it's time to get down and get serious and get to talking to God about it. And I go to the Lord and I pour out my heart before the Lord. And as I'm praying over and over and over on that issue, God begins to shape it and to frame it and to bring a new life to it. For Hannah, it just took one prayer. Share your heart with God. Allow what's in your heart and in your mind to come out in prayer. That's what Hannah did. One final thought here this morning as we close, and that is act on your dream. Act on your dream. More than just expressing the desire of a dream, more than just expressing that dream, action is required. I want you to notice here as she prays, she doesn't just pray for a son. God, please give me a son. You know, she could have demanded a lot of things. She could have said, God, why have you not given me a son? She doesn't say that. She could have said a lot of different things. I want you to look back at what she does say. Says in verse 11, she says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Yeah, that tells you something about her. She says, Lord of hosts, God of everything. Lord of hosts. You think about the stars in the sky when you, it's hard to see in the city. Years ago, I spent a year in Kansas going to a Bible college. And a small town of 500 people, and that was probably during harvest season. There's probably as many people, you know, there's like 100 students on campus, and we were like the big crowd. But the great thing about that place is that you could actually see the stars. You know, in the city here, we it's hard to see the stars. All the lights and the air pollution and such, it's hard to see the stars. But you can go there and you can look up and you can just see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stars. Lord of hosts, God who created everything that you see, and even that which you don't see, Lord of hosts, she says, if you will indeed look upon your servant, upon the affliction of your servant, and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to you, give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. action is required. Notice, I want you to see the action involved in how she prays. Not just that she's praying for the son, but she says, God, here's what I plan to do. If you give me a son, I'm going to give him right back to you. I put it to you this morning, that is an action step. That is an action statement. More than just words, she plans to do something. And that's how God calls us to respond. God calls us to step out in faith. Peter had to get out of a boat. You go through Scripture, you see, when faith is involved, there's action also that goes with that faith. We step out in faith because we know that what God is going to do is greater than what we can see. Hannah made a plan to give her unborn child to the Lord if he would give her a son. Not only this, she followed through with that plan. She followed through whenever God gave her the son. Samuel was born, she raised him up to a certain point and then took him to the temple and then gave him to Eli and said, here, he is yours to raise. And she gave him to the Lord. She entrusted what she had prayed for to the Lord, and God blessed her abundantly. Not only does she have Samuel, but the Scripture tells us that she went on to have other sons and daughters. When she was faithful, God poured out his blessing on her, and he rewarded her greater than she could have ever imagined or hoped for. When we dare to dream and step out in faith to act on those dreams, then the end result, it may be far different than we ever envisioned, but the reward is far greater. Let me close with one quick story here. Heather has a friend who posted on Facebook this interesting story. I thought it was really quite fascinating. Heather's friend had planted a peony plant, some peony flowers, and as she planted these flowers, she had wanted to see them bloom and grow, the beautiful flowers, to see them flourish. She planted the flowers in the ground, and after a year, there was still no growth. And then, I think if I remember correctly, as it was, she went and did some research and found out that no, they don't flower in the first year. They usually don't flower until about the third year. And so years one and two and three rolled by, and still no flowers. Year four came by, no flowers. But in the fifth year, there were flowers. And they were beautiful flowers. And that's how God works. God doesn't always work upon our time schedule. In fact, actually, he really doesn't go by our clock. Our schedule doesn't match up with his schedule. We want it today. Really, we want it yesterday or last week or last month or last year. God doesn't work that way. He says, will you step out in faith? Will you dream and respond and act according to that dream? Now, I'm not sure what dream God is placing on your heart this morning, or even if you've even thought about it or expressed it in your heart. But I believe that God has a dream for each and every one that's here. Each and every person that calls upon the Lord, he has a plan. More than just knowing him, a plan and a purpose to carry out and to do something for the Lord. Hannah's dream was to have a son. And she gave that son to the Lord, that he would worship the Lord. He became a prophet of God. And he was responsible for caring for the people of Israel, anointing Saul because that's what the people wanted, but then anointing David, who was God's choice. You dream something in God's timing and let God work on it. And it may not happen the way you think it would. I'm sure if we could interview Hannah this morning, she would say she would have wanted it sooner. And she would have wanted to keep her son close to her. But as the dream came about and she followed through with it, the dream was, I'll have the son and I'll give the son away. That's what the Father did for us. He sent his son and he gave his son for us that we would live. There's a gospel message right there in this passage. Jesus loves us and cares for us, and he has a plan for each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today, and we ask that you would just watch over us and walk with us. Help us to dream great dreams after you and to let you fill our hearts with those desires and passions. Help us to dare to dream. Dare to speak those dreams out to you in prayer. Help us to act upon those dreams. Yes, there will be challenges. Far greater challenges than we probably even think right now. But with your help, we can face those challenges and overcome those challenges. In Christ's name, amen.